Welcome to the special edition of the Flight Safety Detectives, where we discuss AirVenture 2025, happening in late July in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We highlight the special circumstances pilots must follow in order to fly their aircraft into the event, and we discuss a 2010 accident at AirVenture involving NASCAR legend Jack Roush, where he and his passenger survived the crash of a jet he was piloting.
NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say we've got three sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, Piston Power, and Avemco Insurance, a world-class provider of aviation insurance.
Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
AirVenture 2025 is coming up in Oshkosh. And for those that don't know what that is all about, it's the largest air show in the world. We as the aviation community descend on this little town called Oshkosh, Wisconsin, home of the Experimental Aircraft Association. And it is basically nirvana for aviators and aviation enthusiasts. It is full immersion aviation in some way, shape, or form with every kind of flying machine you can possibly think of. There are a lot of pilots who love to fly in there for a variety of different reasons, whether it's for the day or to participate in the camping that you can do right at the airport, sleeping under the wing of your airplane, if you will. But Todd, you've done a lot of research. I've flown in there several times. It is a well-choreographed dance. And as the banner on the control tower always states, during that week of Oshkosh, the AirVenture, that is the busiest tower in the world because you have better than 10,000 aircraft coming and going into and out of that airplane in a airport within a very short period of time. But it's a well-choreographed dance, and if you intend to go in there, you cannot just operate as normal, as usual. You really have to be well-versed on how you are expected to operate into and out of that airport during air show week. And I know, Todd, you did some research pulling up the NOTAM, which is a very lengthy document that every pilot who has any intent to go in and out of that airport not only should read it, but understand it completely.
Now, for those pilots out there, you've read NOTAM before flying if you're doing your homework properly. But again, Oshkosh is a special circumstance. You literally have planes taking off and landing simultaneously, same runway, several runways at once. NOTAM for both 2010, the accident we're talking about, and for 2025 happened to be 32 pages long. Goes into great detail as to what procedures are being used, who's on first, what's on second. It's the kind of thing where if you're planning on going there, even if you're not planning on flying, if you want to understand just how complex this space is, I highly recommend you download these NOTAMs. We're going to have them both available on the page. Grab a cup of coffee and look through them. You'll either be amazed, shocked, or frightened out of your wits. Either way, it's a good read. This particular case, like you said, you mentioned it was Nirvana for pilots. Nirvana is like also a group that's from the 90s. For those of us of a certain age, it's also like Woodstock which happened in 1969 in upstate New York. About 500,000 people showed up, many of them on substances. Unlike Woodstock, Air Venture happens every year, and very rarely are people on anything that's illegal because, as you know, as pilots, you can't touch the stuff that's not, you know, made by Johnny Walker or something. So,
I love all of this. Keep going, Todd. This is quite entertaining.
And it's also a magnet for celebrities. Now, yourself, you, Greg and John, they come there every year, just about every year. They're celebrities. We all know that. I'm not a celebrity, but we do have people, name brand people. I'm not going to mention them. You know, if you've seen them in the movie screens or on television, and you know in the background they're pilots too, they probably showed up at Air Venture once or twice. One of the people who showed up in 2010 was Jack Roush. And for those of you who are NASCAR aficionados, he is an icon in NASCAR. Ran teams, was instrumental in the development of the engineering behind a lot of the cars. And he was flying in there in 2010. They were going through the procedure as told to them by air traffic control. The pilot flying saw an aircraft on the runway ahead of him, tried to do a missed approach, and one thing led to another. The plane crashed. They were both seriously injured. Now, the NTSB said basically, you know, the pilot didn't do the proper missed approach procedure for the aircraft, should have had full throttle, did not have full throttle. The pilot misjudged where the other aircraft was, thinking this aircraft is going to be in my way or what have you. Let me just get out of here. But I said to myself, reading through this, this is a very complicated situation. For example, the departure frequency was not the same frequency as the accident pilot was listening to. So maybe the accident pilot didn't have full situational awareness of that event. But at the same time, I had to ask myself, did the pilot thoroughly brief himself on what to expect, how complicated it would have been, and what to do if things go wrong? And again, this gets back to those of you who are flying into Air Venture. Take this note in, read it, talk to people who've done it. If you have a halfway high fidelity simulator to practice this with, do it. If you're kind of afraid, fly with someone else. See how it happens from the inside of the aircraft with someone else flying before you do it yourself. But in any case, this is a difficult situation. You got to be careful.
Roush was flying the airplane at the time. And like you said, you know, unless you are well informed about how to operate, because they're flowing you into traffic, and the traffic is anything that flies damn near, whether it's a helicopter, a gyrocopter, you know, a Cessna 172, and now you're filtering in the airplane that he was flying, which was a jet. It was a Premier jet identified as a Beech 390. So now you have operating speeds that are substantially different. I can slow that 172 down to 60 knots. Roush can't slow his jet down to 60 knots to fall into the flow. And so, you know, it's up to either air traffic control to give you more spacing or you to manage your energy when you're in behind these slower aircraft. Like you said, there are going to be multiple airplanes on the same runway. You land on a spot and, you know, I mean, it's unconventional. It is just totally out of norm for the way we've all learned how to fly. If there's an airplane on the runway, you don't land on the runway. If there's an airplane on the runway, you don't take off on that runway. But not in this case for that week because of the amount of traffic that are coming in and out of that airport. And that's why it's such a well choreographed dance. But if you don't understand the process and how things are happening by reading those NOTAMs and really understanding it, you'll get yourself into a bad situation. And like you said, they chose to try to abandon the approach or the landing because they saw other aircraft. Well, under that circumstance, that was normal. However, if the pilot is evaluating, going, man, I'm not going to be able to get my airplane stopped. I'm going to run right up this guy's tailpipe. I've got to do something else. You, again, have to have a very well-choreographed plan. You don't power up, pull up, and yank and bank the aircraft left or right. There is a prescribed procedure if you have to go do a go-around, because typically you will not be going in there under IFR conditions. Everything is all VFR going into Oshkosh. But again, it behooves the pilot to be well versed in that. With Roush, you know, he came smoking in there, and again, not really understanding what was going to be taking place, and they're trying to funnel a fast moving aircraft in with slow moving aircraft. If worse comes to worse, then you call them and tell them, hey, I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock, and make special arrangements if you want to be the only one on the runway. But again, that if you've never been there, when you have 10,000 aircraft, and just go on the internet, watch. That's what I would suggest to pilots who plan to go in there. And John, you and I have been down down the flight line numerous times, and we see, I mean, there's been multiple accidents there, you know, from just the fender bender to serious fatal accidents. And
you have no idea, as an individual pilot who's never been there, you can't believe that what's going on. I mean, I've sat at the end of the runway and just watched what was going on. And it, you know, I broke my neck because I was shaking my head so many times. I couldn't believe what they were doing.
Yeah.
But it's a long runway. You're taking off half, you know, partial field takeoffs. You're landing and holding short before an airplane that's sitting there waiting to take off because the runway is so long. They can give you 5,000 feet to land on and still have enough land for somebody else to take off.
And you and I had the good fortune to fly with Bob Hoover in and out of Oshkosh, in the Shrike Commander. And, you know, here you got one of the world's best pilots at that time. Unfortunately, he has passed since then. But we flew with him. And, again, doesn't matter who you are, how much experience you have, it is a well-choreographed dance. And you can get yourself into trouble very quickly if you don't know the rules of the game. And the rules of the game are what Todd talked about. They're in the NOTAM. And I would suggest that every pilot not only read that NOTAM, but understand it, and then go on YouTube and look for videos. And there's a bunch of them by pilots who have flown in and out of there during Air Venture Week. See, I mean, it's crazy. And you always preach it at the end of our show, John. You got to keep your head on a swivel. Just because air traffic's talking to these people, you have people sidestepping or misunderstanding, and they'll get in your way, or they'll cut you off, or everything else. I mean, it is a ripe environment for an accident, you know, but for the fact that, you know, again, we have very good air traffic controllers working that. You got spotters out there. You got people talking and chattering all the time. You got to stay plugged in to avoid any kind of accident or incident. And, while, yes, it is an environment where we could have a lot of accidents over the years, while we had some, they aren't as many as you would expect under those types of conditions.
And so, while you're at it, the public docket, which is usually the case, has a lot of really good nuggets of information, including a witness video, which those of you watching the video version of this, I'm showing that on the screen now. Where you can just see, even if you're not a pilot of that kind of high-performance aircraft, this was not a straight and level approach, your normal three-degree slope. There were some rather radical moves being made. And I thought to myself, how often has this pilot in this aircraft made those kind of radical moves flying into an airstrip?
Yep.
It's the kind of thing you would say, like a military pilot.
It's a very good point, Todd, because a lot of times you're diving and driving. You are in more extreme attitudes than you're normally used to. And you bring up a very good point. Those that are flying bigger airplanes that never really do that, especially in a light jet like that, you're never pushing the nose over and, you know, trying to head to the ground at Mach 4. You know, your long, low, flat approaches, you know, you're not pushing the nose over to try and get down, hit a spot, and then jump the binders and get the airplane stopped. So, again, you really have to understand your airplane, the limitations and the performance of your aircraft and yourself, but you also have to be very conversant with the expectations that the controllers give you an instruction. They have an expectation that you're going to the place that they want you to go. You don't have options. If you want to exercise an option, that option is you leave the pattern and they'll go stick you out somewhere and you'll be holding for 2 hours till they can sequence you back in. And that's why you really have to be knowledgeable if you intend to fly into that airport during that week.
We're going to take a short break now to meet one of Avemco's employees from their Frederick, Maryland office.
What's the most challenging calls that you have had?
The most challenging calls that we can get here are senior pilots that aren't qualified, that haven't flown 25 hours or more in the last 12 months, and they don't meet our underwriting guidelines. And so those can be very challenging because you feel for them, but at the same time, you have to abide by our guideline.
And so are they always trying to, you know, finesse you and go, well, but I will, or I did, or, I mean, what do you require for them to prove that they've either flown those 25 hours or will fly those 25 hours for your underwriting?
Well, they tell us, you know, we take their word of mouth, so they tell us we're going to trust them, we're going to believe them, you know, they're going to have current flight review, valid medicals, you know, at least 25 hours, and then there's some that don't have it, they go get it, they call back.
What about the funniest phone call you've ever had where you just started laughing because the information that you got is like, there's just no way I can do anything for this person?
Well, I had a guy that called in one time, and we have basic questions that we ask. Have you had any accidents? Have you had any incidents or claims, DUIs, arrests? And when I asked that question, he said, well, yes, I used my plane to smuggle cocaine back in 1988. And I got real quiet. You could hear a pin drop, and I said, are you serious? And he said, no, I'm just messing with you. It's freaking.
So did you underwrite him?
I think we quoted him, but we were too high. I can't remember the place. That was a few years ago.
Yeah, well, carrying that kind of cargo, I can imagine the premium was real high.
It caught me off guard. I was like, some people are brutally honest, and some people just like to pull your list. So yeah, at the end of the day, it was fun.
Can they still get insurance if they had a minor landing accident?
Yes, they certainly can. As long as it's outside 36 months, we'll take a look at everything. And
do you require them to demonstrate that they've either had recurrent training after their incident or accident? Is there any criteria? You know, because a lot of times, you know, if the FAA doesn't require a 709 ride, just a, you know, refresher or check ride, do you all require that before you'll underwrite somebody that had an incident or an accident?
We don't require it, but there's some people that do it, you know, and they'll call back and they're like, hey, I got 20 hours of dual, you know, I'm ready to go, and we'll re-underwrite it, and we'll offer coverage because that is a great thing to say.
Great. How long have you been here, Justin?
About 5 years.
And what's the best part of your job?
The best part of the job is being able to travel, to go to air shows like Oshkosh, Sun and Fun, being able to meet our customers, you know, face-to-face, give them free things. You know, I'm always taking money from them. It's nice to be able to get them, you know.
Yeah, well, that's
the other free little good.
Yeah, there's a good tagline. When was the last time your insurance company gave you something other than a bill?
Yeah. So we try to do things, but it's fun to do that.
You got a hat.
You got a hat. It's fun to go to those shows because you get to meet the customers, and when you meet them face to face, it's just like you've known them for a long time, and then you establish those connections over years, and they call back and, hey, I remember you.
And now, back to the flight safety detectives.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about, and we preach this all the time, and that is, it's all about knowledge. It's all about information, making informed decisions. Well, the only way you can make informed decisions or execute with purpose is to have a good basis of knowledge and a fundamental principle of what it is that you're intending to do before you actually do it. And this is one of those cases where you cannot learn on the fly because, one, the controllers, they do not have the patience for you. They can't educate you. They can't teach you. They expect that you have some level of understanding of what they are going to expect. And if you don't do exactly what they want you to do, they will make sure you're not doing it. You're going to be flying off into the abyss somewhere.
There's also other unexpected things that could happen at Oshkosh. One of the years we were all there together was a year they had, what was it, tornado warnings coming through the area. And you had, I'm not sure how many hundreds of airplanes were skedaddling all over the place to get out of the way of that.
Yeah. So,
if you go there, be prepared to leave quickly.
Yeah, that was like a mass exodus.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, I mean, it's a very dynamic environment, you know, and that's not even really describing it. I mean, there is so much activity in the air, even on the slowest of days. And then, of course, during the week, you have time slots because you have air shows during the day. They do try to funnel airplanes coming in or leaving that were there for the show, either in between air show performers or before and after the air shows start. But a lot of the air show, warbird airplanes, everything else starts flying early in the morning. So again, plan your arrival and or your departure because you're not going to have a lot of options.
Yeah, and the mix of airplanes, we just barely touched on it. You know, so you got about every GA airplane in existence that's there. But you also have business jets, and you have World War II fighter planes. You have bombers, B-29s and B-17s, common visitors. And the military brings in big airplanes. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, we had the flying hospital, the eye hospitals.
Yes.
DC-8 that they have with all the operating rooms that they fly around the world to the less advantaged or disadvantaged areas. So we have that mix of airplanes that's in and out of that place. And it is really, it's something to see, but it really means every pilot has to be on their game.
Yeah. And for those of you who are non-pilots, but aviation enthusiasts, it's definitely a great place to learn about aviation, all the details of aviation. The FAA has a great presentation there in the FAA Safety Center. So you really can understand, you know, the rules, the regulations, the processes that the FAA has and the responsibilities. But they also have, you know, the Vertigon, which they put you in. It's a simulator that will basically tumble in multiple directions. They cover your eyes, and they really induce spatial disorientation so that you really understand, you know, the seriousness of spatial disorientation. When we talk about pilots who are not instrument rated, flying into instrument weather conditions and getting disoriented and losing the aircraft, you'll experience exactly what that is, and you can see how disorienting it is and how difficult it may be for an untrained pilot to recover from spatial disorientation, especially if it's constantly happening to the pilot while they're trying to maneuver the aircraft. You have other simulators. You got Redbird. You have just about everybody that manufactures anything related to aviation, and even those that don't relate to aviation. You'll find anything and everything at Oshkosh, and it is a great place to really introduce kids and young people to all aspects of aviation, not just flying airplanes, but turning wrenches, being a mechanic. Actually, they have, you know, home builder forums, so you can go to any one of these forums and learn how to build your own aircraft. It is just a week of education if you really want to take all of that in. So I encourage
you. You're underselling it.
I'm sorry. Okay, oversell it, Todd.
Is it not true that this year you'll be giving a presentation at our venture?
I give presentations every year. And
tell us about it, please.
I'm fortunate enough that the FAA, I still have a pretty good relationship with my friends over at the FAA, so they invite me back to do safety presentations in the FAA safety forum building. Years ago, that used to be the joke that, you know, everybody vied to be in that building because it was the only air conditioned building on the property. And so basically it still is. So I am very blessed that my friends invite me back so that you can sit in air conditioned comfort and listen to guys like me and other very famous people that are giving presentations on a variety of different subjects, from weather to pilot training, to aerobatics, to a lot of different things. But you can sit in air conditioned comfort for an hour plus and really absorb what the guest speakers are saying. And this year I'm probably going to drag John up on stage with me so that we can talk about some maintenance related issues with some of the accidents that I use as case studies.
It would be a crime if at Oshkosh people are not given the opportunity to listen to a newly minted member of the Aviation Hall of Fame, Mr. John Golia.
Why, yes, indeed. And, of course, we're going to be celebrating that later in the year. But, you know, we've always known that John was Hall of Fame quality. It's just now that there's a formal place for him to be enshrined, because being enshrined in our hearts, Todd, isn't enough for John.
And I thought it was indicted, actually.
Say again, John?
I thought it was indicted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we're trying to be nice to you, John. This is a family-oriented show. We don't want to get into the details. So.
And, Greg, I got to chide you one more time here. You mentioned about and other famous people who might be there speaking, which is implying that you're a famous person, but we knew that.
No, I'm not. No, I'm infamous. Trust me. You ask any of my friends. So, but there are a lot of great speakers, not only at the FAA Forum Building, but I sit on the board of the National Association of Flight Instructors, and they have a great lineup of speakers, not only at their forum tent that's right on the property, but this year we have the opportunity to also use the new building, the new facility that EAA has built, that has an auditorium and classrooms, and we'll be holding a number of presentations in that facility as well, really geared towards flight training, DPEs or designated pilot examiners, flight instructors, and, you know, being a student pilot, not just from the student pilot perspective, but being a student, if you're a private pilot, instrument pilot, commercial or whatever. So I encourage you to visit as many of these forums and presentations, because you're going to learn a lot. And a number of good friends of mine, Jeff Edwards, who I worked with when he was with McDonnell Douglas. He was the representative from McDonnell Douglas working on ValueJet with me. Very accomplished pilot. And he's been basically the face of the Lance Air community for a very long time. He's built his own Lance Air Evolution, flies it all over, extremely knowledgeable in aircraft accident investigation, as well as flight training. And I know that he gives forum presentations as well. So I encourage anybody that's watching this to, get the agenda and look on the daily agenda and start making your plan to visit these forums and these presentations.
All three of us are NAFI members, and I also submitted a proposal for a presentation. I'm on the backup team there, so I'm not assigned anything yet, but I'll be ready. I'll have my slide deck.
I'll see a chance. If I can use my influence, Todd, but it'll cost you.
Hey, the kind of drinks you drink, it'll be a very expensive proposition.
Why, yes, it will be. Okay, so with all of that, I will leave you with our second to the last word, Todd.
Well, I think the theme for today, on many levels, is education, education, education. You cannot learn too much about the process of investigating accidents, the process of flying, and the process of doing something cut above. Going into Oshkosh as a participant, especially as a pilot, prepare for it. And don't sell that short. It is a place where it is a wonderful place to go, wonderful experiences to be had. Just make sure you're safe.
And with that, John, I will leave you with our last word.
And in all flying, please follow the basics. Plan your flight before you get to the airport. Redo it at the airport. Make sure that it still agrees. When you go out to the airplane, do a good pre-flight. I still see pre-flights that leave a lot to be desired. And after you get in the air, put that head on a swivel, especially if you're going to fly in and around Oshkosh. You know, we didn't talk about the surrounding airports also being overrun with airplanes, because they just totally saturate Oshkosh, and there's thousands of others that are around the airport for 50 miles in every direction.
Yep.
So you've got to have your head on a swivel. It's all VFR flying, and you've got to pay attention around you, because over the tree line, somebody may have just taken off. And, you know, you don't want to just rely upon them seeing you. You want to make sure you see them. So put that head on a swivel and pay attention. And please, please fly safely.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. We really value all of our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you. So if you like this, give us 5 stars inside your podcast platform.
We want to keep the conversation going with you. So we'd love for you to engage with us on our social media channels. We're on Instagram, X, Facebook, LinkedIn, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetodetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, we're working on growing this channel, and it really helps if you all comment. So please do that. We read them all.
And be sure to subscribe.
Without the right insurance, you're Sierra Oscar Lima. Vemco Insurance Company is the only direct writer in the market, never uses third-party agents or brokers. Instead, they connect you directly with real underwriters with real answers in their Frederick, Maryland office, ready to solve problems and approve coverage based on your flying. Floats to wheels and back to floats, Vemco gives you more flexibility. Call 888-879-0389 for a free quote or visit Vemco.com/flightsafety today. Don't forget to tell them the Flight Safety Detective sent you for 5% off your premium.